Welcome to prayer meeting. Our opening hymn is 328. How firm a foundation. 328. How firm a foundation. 328. We have an anchor. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, firmly, deeply, deep in the Savior's love. It is safely moored till the storm withstand, for this well secure by the Savior's hand. Though the tempest rage and the wild wind blows, not an angry wave shall bark or flow. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fast
Listen to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. When our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore, with the storms all past forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure, all the billows roll. Tossed into the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
330, our final hymn. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. 330.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said? You unto Jesus for refuge have fled. Fear not, He is with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for He is thy God and will still give thee aid. He'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by His righteous omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters He calls thee to go, the rivers of grief shall not overflow, for He will be with thee in trouble to bless and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thus thy pathways shall lie, His grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, His only design, thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, He will not, He cannot desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell shoot and devil to shake, He'll never leave.
Amen. Isaiah chapter 5 and verses 25 to 30. We shall read from verse 24. Isaiah chapter 5 and verses 24 to 30. We shall read responsively. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their roots shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall not go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he stretched forth his hand against them and has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and the carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still, and he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. Verse 28, whose arrows are sharp and their bows bent, their horses' hooves shall be counted like flint and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion. They shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. And in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold, darkness and sorrow, the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. Amen. Thank God for the reading of his precious word. Despise not the word, part two. Two thoughts. The rottenness, verse 24, and verse 25 to 30, kindling of God's anger. We see the movement culminating to the final judgment, the judgment of abandonment, when Israel abandoned the Lord. She will be abandoned to the most severe of judgments, and we see the culmination of it today from verses 24 or 25 to 30. The announcement of the judgment to be meted out for the sins that were mentioned. We see there were six of them that was exposed. Materialism, verse 8 to 10. Merrymaking and intoxication. Daring or defying God. Deceiving blatantly. Self-conceit or pride. Dereliction of duty. Drunkenness. The description of the punishment is being given, added, but now compounded and joined right at the end with a final judgment. In verse 24, we saw the rottenness. When Israel despised the Lord and his word, they were as rottenness, like a consuming fire. A thoroughly rotten tree, even the stump is rotten, doomed for destruction. Israel cast away the law or the instruction of the Lord. They would not listen anymore. There's no pretension at the end. So the Lord gave them over. When they cast away the laws of God, they are left with no wisdom except their own folly. And here is described the law of the Lord of hosts. It speaks of the Lord as an army fighting the battles with overcoming and overwhelming strength. But the trouble now is that the Lord is turned against his people. And here it is a sad thing, the strength of the Lord against them, because they went against God's word by rejecting or casting away the law or the instruction of the Lord. So they spurn, they despise, they scorn, they contempt, they abhor. And this is in what we said, the intensive PL stem in the perfect tense, describing a completed action. Right? They are determined in their rebellion. And the Lord sees and sees through it. And so the kindling of God's wrath, God's anger upon them, verse 25 to 30. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he stretched forth his hand against them and has smitten them. The hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. The thought that despite all that has occurred, God's anger is still not turned away. What took place? Well, the hills trembled. Probably a great earthquake has come. The earth shook. Yeah, you remember the time when the earth shook, the earth opened, and Korah and the people who stood against Moses disappeared at the bottom of the pit. It was a frightening scene, but here it will be upon the entire nation, because the entire nation has gone wayward. And the thought of it is frightening. Our text tells us their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. Wow. It's a little bit like the scene that we see, isn't it? In a devastating earthquake. Buildings tumble and rubbles everywhere. It's almost too difficult to do anything to save anybody because the destruction is so widespread, so complete, so terrible. This anger is like a fire that has been kindled, and so it burned toward his people. By his hand, God accomplished his purposes, and that hand is still at work. And in judgment, he has smitten them, possibly through famine, through pestilence, through earthquake, through war. And today, God continues to perform this judgment. Even nature is affected. Isaiah 13, verse 13 says, "Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, in the day of his fierce anger." Matthew Henry pointedly said, the judgments described, which these sins would bring upon them. Let not those expect to live easily who live thus wickedly. For the righteous God will take vengeance. God knows how complete this ruin will be and how necessary and how unavoidably it will follow upon their sins. He had compared these people to a vine, a good vine, hoped to be flourishing and fruitful by the grace of God, but grace was received in vain. The root became rottenness, and it was dried up from beneath, and the blossom would blow away as dust, as light, as a worthless thing. Isaiah 5, verse 7, we saw earlier, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, and behold, a cry. His roots shall be dried up beneath, above shall his branch be cut off." It's a sad thing, isn't it? Sin weakens the strength, the root of a people, so that they are easily rooted up. It defaces the beauty, the blossoms of a people, and takes away the hopes of fruit. The sin of unfruitfulness is punished with the plague of unfruitfulness. Matthew Henry well said, "Sinners make themselves as stubble and chaff, combustible matter, proper fuel to the fire of God's wrath, which then, of course, devours and consumes them as the fire devours the stubble. And nobody can hinder it or care to hinder it. Chaff is consumed, unhelped, unpitied." A terrible sight, isn't it? But this was a description of that ruin. But how just is that ruin? Because they have cast away the Lord of hosts and would not have him to reign over them. As the laws of Moses were rejected and they were thrown away, so the word of the Holy One of Israel by his servants, the prophets, putting them in mind of his law and calling them to obedience, was despised, disregarded. Man does not reject, God does not reject men for their transgression of his law and word, but when his word is despised, his law cast away, when they can expect, what they can expect is the Lord abandoning them. And it's a frightening thing, isn't it? God had to say these words. And it's interesting, as we reflect upon what Moses said in the book of Deuteronomy before they entered the promised land, The Lord said to them, keep these words and you shall live. Keep and you shall live. But the contrast, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, and to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. You see the word there? The Lord said to them, if you would keep, and Moses reiterated God's promises of long life, prolonging of the days for those who keep God's commandments. And there are two elements here, the fear of the Lord, the spiritual attitude and demeanor to walk with God, and the courage and the strength to do his will. And so James said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. What's the point? Coming to hear and you don't do. It's a mockery, isn't it? I'm not wasting my time, but you're wasting your time, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and be not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We are to keep the word of God in our hearts and to apply it in our lives. That's what Moses told the people of Israel. Those were his last words to the people of Israel. And he carefully endeavored to fix them for God and godliness, because they were entering the promised land, so that they would be prepared for the comforts of that land. And they would be fortified against the snares, against the pitfalls, against the traps, the landmines that are there, that the fear of God may be in their hearts. The fear of God that caused us to want to obey. But if the fear of God is gone, then we would persist, isn't it, in our rebellion. And that's a sad thing. The entail of religion in a family, in a country, is the best entail. It is highly desirable that not we only, but our children and our children's children may fear the Lord, says O.T. Spence. Religion and righteousness advance and secure the prosperity of any people. Fear God and it will be well with thee. Those that are well taught, if they do what they are taught, shall be well fed too. Israel in the land flowing with milk and honey. We are speaking about the spiritual stuff, not the carnal stuff. If we are focusing on the carnal stuff and think that this is what Moses meant, then we are off track. So here it says, observe and increase. Right. Keep and live, observe and increase. Hear therefore, O Israel, observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily. Mightily in spiritual stature, not in the things of the world. You see, we need to measure ourselves rightly. If we are not measuring ourselves rightly, then we are off track, isn't it? Really off track. And it's sad. The Church of Jesus Christ cannot advance if the people of God are off track. They are focusing on the wrong things. The promise of God is that Israel will prosper in the land with the blessing of God as they walk with him. You see, when they walk with the Lord and they do the will of God, well, God will be with them to deliver them Right? They will be faced with great giants. Yet the Lord will be with them to deliver them all the way. Alas, we say, after all that Moses said, well, he spent a long time, you know, to speak. Many chapters. If you think of it, if you look at it, wow. Yet, over the centuries, Israel has lost her way. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he has stretched forth his hand against them and has smitten them, and the hills did tremble and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. The wrath of the Lord, when it comes, the hills tremble. The carcasses of the dead torn lies in desolation in the midst of the streets. A frightening sight of death and ruin. Frightening sight. The death upon the firstborn of Pharaoh and his kingdom. Man and beast was devastating, isn't it, when we think about the Exodus. While the Israelite came not even a dog to move his tongue. Exodus 11, verse 6 and 7. And there was a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, or none like it anymore. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against men and beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. How we see the Lord made a difference, put a difference for the sake of his own people. But here, you see in our text, we see the Lord himself raining the judgment reserved upon the enemies on his own people. Why? Because they have ran amok. They have gone amok. And it's not surprising. For the Lord himself spoke of his judgment if Israel will stray away and sin against him. Deuteronomy 28, verse 14 to 20. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken into the voice unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day. What did the Lord say to them? Don't go after the gods of this world. And yet they did. Unabated, and with the audacity to think, right, that and with the audacity to think that nothing has happened. Well, that's a very sad thing, isn't it? The display of the natural forces that came, or the trouble that overtook them. But it came to pass that if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do according to all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Curses which thou shalt be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thou be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me.
So can the people of God forsake God and still think that they are living in righteousness? That's great delusion, isn't it? But that's what's happening in the church today. This is the sin of the church today. And that's a very sad thing, isn't it? But that is exactly what it is. And unless the man in the church would repent, there would be no hope for them and their families. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth, and behold, I'll come with speed swiftly, with the carcasses scattered in the streets. His wrath is still unabated. The people are still unrepentant despite the destruction. A fiercer judgment awaits. Why do we study the book of Isaiah?